ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुण्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं समगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तन्न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः। देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः। साङ्ख्ययोगो नाम द्वितीयोऽध्यायः। श्रीभगवानुवाच अशोच्यानन्वशोचस्त्वम् प्रज्ञावादांश्च भाषसे गतासो न गतासोंश्च नानुशोचन्ति पण्डिताः। नत्वेवाहं जातु नासं न त्वन्नेमे जनाधिपाः। न चैव न भविष्यामः सर्वे वयमतः परम्। देहिनोऽस्मिन्यथा देहे कौमारं यौवनं जरा तथा देहान्तरप्राप्तिः धीरस्तत्र न मुह्यति। भगवान् सेड् Only ignorant people grieve. Wise people do not grieve. Grief and knowledge cannot coexist. Grief and wisdom cannot coexist. Whoever grieves definitely is not wise, is ignorant. Otherwise. So panditaha na anushochanti. For those who are alive or for those who are dead. Gataprananam agataprananam va vishaye panditaha na anushochanti. So Arjuna's grief for Bhishma Drona also was not necessary. It's purely because of his sense of belonging that they die for my sake. What shall I do without their presence, with all the pleasures and objects of enjoyment I have? Such pain, such grief, such worry, such sorrow is purely because of two reasons. Because the main reason, because of the erroneous notion Arjuna has about himself, the erroneous notion he has about the other people also, the world also. So, because of his error in the perception of the self and the world, helplessly he becomes subject to grief. He became subject to grief because of the self-ignorance. So, Atma Ajnanam Dukkhasya Karanam. Atma-jnanam is samsara-karanam. Atma-jnanam is the only means of freeing oneself from sorrow. So freeing oneself from the hold of sorrow is freeing oneself from even this, the bondage of samsara. And here why they do not deserve any grief, we saw nityatvat. So essentially, all are one Atma. essentially, absolutely, all are one Atma. What is Atma? The absolute reality is implied by the term Atma. Absolute reality, the ultimate truth, the only truth which lends existence to the whole world, which lends existence to all the lives, which lends, because of the presence of which the life itself is possible, experiences are possible. That reality is actually the content of I, the first person singular pronoun. I refers to that abstract reality, formless reality. That reality is implied by the term Atma. Why? Because that reality is of the nature of all-pervasive. Why it is all-pervasive? Because subtlest reality. There's nothing which is subtler than the reality, the Parambarul. Because of the abstractness, because of the subtleness, reality is of the nature of all-pervasiveness. Therefore, it is implied by the term Atma, which is the real content of I. Therefore, I, obtaining in every mind, is not subject to death. Because I is Atma. Atma is not I, but I is nothing but Atma. Like water is not the wave, but the wave is water. Similarly, Atma, the all-pervasive abstract reality implied with the term Atma, is not I, but every I appearing in every mind is Atma. Therefore, essentially, every individual is the reality. That reality is of the nature of changelessness. So, all-pervasiveness, it is timelessness. It is timeless. Timeless means what? Has no beginning, no end, no change. So reality is beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, all pervasively is there always. And reality is satyam. Everything other than the Atma is what? Anatma. The entirety of the objective universe, including one's body, minds, and complex, comes under the category of the known, is what? Anatma. You can say all that is here is nothing but two inseparable factors, Atma and Anatma. Known comes under the category of the Anatma. The knower is Atma. So Atma is satyam, Anatma is mithya. What does it mean? Atma has independent existence, Anatma has dependent existence. Just as water is not dependent on the ocean for its existence, whereas ocean has dependent existence. Ocean cannot exist independently without the water. Therefore, what is satyam? That which has independent existence is satyam. That which has dependent existence is mithya. Here, Atma, the essential nature of every being implied with the term Atma, is satyam. Whereas Anatma Prapancha, inclusive of one's own body, mind, and complex, is mithya. Mithya means what? It has no independent existence, means it is as well as non-existent. It's only non-substantial form, name, and function. Okay? And therefore, this Anatma being material product is of the nature of undergoing changes. Anatma is of the nature of undergoing changes. We cannot expect the Anatma to be changeless. Why? That is the nature of the Anatma. Being subject to change is nature of the Anatma. When you say Anatma, everything, anything and everything other than Atma is Anatma. Anatma is subject to change. So, if I'm not able to accept the nature of Anatma being subject to change, then I'm immature. I have to understand the nature of the Anatma. I have to understand the fact as a fact. I have to learn to accept the fact as a fact in order to be a mature individual. If I cannot accept the change of the body, old age. No, I can't accept. Why should the body become old? Why should I have the wrinkles? Why the hair becomes white? No, I don't want it to be. I can't accept. Means what? You can cry, you can jump around. Nothing will happen. Why? Body has birth. Before being born also, body existed of parental no energy. Then the body grows, you can't prevent it. No, I want to be young always. No. I want body to be young always. No, it will change. So the body is subject to sixfold modifications. In Tattvabodha class, you all would have understood. No, dehas shadvikaravan dehaha. Body is subject to sixfold modifications. Not only body, any anatma, physical, material product is subject to sixfold modifications. In all the living beings, we can see this very well. Asti, they're already there. The body is already there. In the form of food eaten by parents. It is there in the form of father's sperm and mother's ovum. Then it comes out in the form of a jayate. So birth is a change. Please understand, birth is a change happening on the part of the material product, material form. So physical body, asti, jayate, is born. Then once it is born, it will not remain like that few pounds of body, drinking mother's milk, then afterwards drinking water, all possible, you know, liquids. And the baby's body grows and grows and grows and grows. The gross body keeps on growing. Vardhate, 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 vardhate. Then it becomes eating well. Then slowly the teenage comes. Viparinamate, metamorphosis. Mustache comes. Voice breaks for boy. Girls in puberty. Viparinamate. All changes happen in the body system. Viparinamate. So asti, jayate, vardhate, viparinamate. Metamorphosis. Viparinamate. Then grows and grows. Then enjoy the prime of youth. Now slowly after some time, viparinamate, apakshiyate. 55, 50, 55, 60, 65. Then we don't want, we don't like afterwards. Until 35, 40, nice. Afterwards, so many things again happen. Viparinamate, apakshiyate. Starts decaying. Apakshiyate. Kshiyate. Isn't it? Then one day, irrespective of the age of the person, ayo, he's only 70. Ayo, he's only 74. Ayo, he's only 64. Ayo, he's only 45. Oh my God, he's only 25, 22. Some age. Prarabdha karma gets exhausted. Sukshma leaves the physical body. Sukshma is safe. Nothing happens. The sthula shariram falls, okay, becomes dead, lifeless. Dead means lifeless, like a log of wood. That is why we don't hesitate to go and cremate the physical body. My God, we can't even touch a tiny bit of fire, isn't it? We cannot handle if the life is there. Then the whole body pushed into crematorium. And next day, asti, sangraha. Okay, collecting the ashes. That is gone. What I'm saying is viparinamaha. Then what happened? Panchatva, death is panchatva praptihi, means what? The physical body becomes disintegrated and becomes one with elements. The body came from elements, again got back to elements after going through so many processes. There's also change. So death is also change. So any material product, every material product is subject to all change. Change is the unchangeable nature of the matter, material product. Whether we like it or not, whether the material part has a life or lifeless or the life with the life, sentient or insentient, everything subject to change. So this is a fact about the material product. Anatma, material nature, we have to understand. Once you understand it, we have to accept it also. So the matter is of the nature of inertness. Jadatvam is the swabhava. Jadatvam means what? Inertness means what? Not knowing one's own existence is being inert. Inertness. Okay? That's why nail does not know it's a nail. Hair does not know it's hair. Skin does not know it's skin. It's all what? Jadatvam. Inertness. Being inert. So being inertness is the nature. And so having forms is the nature. And so change is the unchangeable nature of the matter. And it has no independent existence also. Therefore, that is the nature of the matter. Once you understand the matter, this is the fact about the matter. Once you understand the fact, we have to learn to accept the fact. If I refuse to accept, I don't want sun to rise in the morning. We have no choice. We do not have any say over the nature of the matter. Therefore, understand the fact, accept the fact as a fact, and be mature. What about the Atma? And what is I here? Atma or Anatma? Shastram says very clearly, I is not Anatma. I is Atma. Like wave is water, I is abstract, formless, subtlest, inexplicably subtlest reality, absolute reality implied by the term Atma. Just Satyam. And what is the nature of the Atma? Atma is absolutely changeless. Changelessness is the nature of the Atma. Why it has no change? Because it has no beginning. If it has a beginning, it must have undergone a change. Beginningless, endless, therefore changeless. And it's also all pervasive. Timeless and all pervasive. Spatially limitless, time-based limitless. Therefore, it is changeless. And changelessness is the nature of the Atma. Means, Atma is not subject to any of these changes. Understand? Therefore, there is no growth also on the part of the Atma. When the physical body goes through all these different stages, different modifications, like Balyam, Kaumaram, Saishavam, Yavanam, Jara, etc. Then Atma is there changelessly. So Avikriyaha Atma. What's the word we learned yesterday? Avikriyaha Atma. Avikriyasya Atmanaha. Avikriyaha is the Swarupa of the Dehi. Atma is Avikriyaha. Whereas Anatma is Vikriyaha. Atma is just changelessness. So the Atma has no beginning, no end. Means what? Atma has no birth. Atma has no death. In between, Atma does not grow. Atma is free from the sixfold modifications. So Dehantara Praptihi. Tatra Dheeraha Na Muhyati. Therefore, the wise person has to explain the meaning of the word Dheeraha. Remember? So, Dheeraha na muhyati, wise person does not get deluded at all about Atma being not subject to death. Wise person knows very clearly, I am the knower. I the knower am distinct from the known body, mind, sense complex. I the knower am pure awareness, pure consciousness implied with the term Atma. And I am not subject to change. Okay, that I is not object to change. Avijnani has this clear knowledge. Okay, So Bhagavan explained that, that Atma is the only truth of all obtaining in all the minds, in all the body, minds, and complexes, essentially. So Bhagavan said, there was never a time you were not, I was not, all these kings were not. There will never be a time all of us will not be, we shall not be. Means all of us were, all of us are, all of us will ever be. Which means, in Tarka Shastra, they talk about absence. Prak Abhavaha. Means Prag Abhavaha. Prag Abhavaha means what? Absence of things before their production, manufacturing. Before the origination of a given thing, the non-abhava is what? Called pragabhavaha. Before the pot is made, there is prior non-existence of the pot. The pot is not there before it was made. The pot means not the, the form, name and function called a pot. It's not there. Okay? It's not there means it is. And after the pot gets broken, the clay continues to be, but pot will not be there. Called pradhvamsa bhavaha. The posterior non-existence. Non-existence after the fall of the, after the destruction of the given object. So like this, there is no pragabhava of the Atma. There is no pradhvamsa bhava of the Atma. Body has pragabhava. Before the birth of the body, it was not there. It was in some other form. After the destruction of the fall of the body also, death also, the body will not be there in the same form. Pradhvamsa bhavaha. Body has pragabhavaha, pradhvamsa bhavaha. But Atma has no pragabhavaha or pradhvamsa bhavaha. Atma is absolutely changeless, timeless. Atma is always there. Okay. So let us understand here. Now, having said that, now Bhagavan talks about the Anatma. In first two verses, 12th verse, 13th verse, Bhagavan talked about Atma. Indestructibility of the Atma, changelessness of the Atma, timelessness of the Atma, Bhagavan talked about. Now, in this the 14th verse, he is going to talk about the nature of the Anatma. Anatma means what? All the experiences we go through in life is nothing but interaction happening between the Anatma sense organs and the Anatma objects. Anatma mind, the material, inert material Anatma mind, through the inert material sense organs, interacting with the inert material sense objects, gives rise to what? Experience. Okay. Anatma is time bound, subject to change. Therefore, the experiences which we go through as a result of the Anatma mind coming in contact with the Anatma sense objects through the inert material sense organs also will be time bound in nature. We cannot change. So we have to learn to understand the nature of the Anatma, nature of the experiences, the paths of opposite we go through in life. And accept, learn to accept them. Learn to endure them. And enduring the paths of opposites, all life's experiences, understanding their nature is healthy endurance, healthy acceptance, which will help us, which will enable us grow emotionally. Once we grow emotionally, we become mature emotionally, then we can accomplish the ultimate. Otherwise, if we choicelessly, helplessly we endure. We accept choicelessly. Then, with a lot of complaints, it is not a healthy acceptance. That will not contribute for emotional maturity. Therefore, Bhagavan says, it is very important to become mature. What is maturity? Accepting the fact as a fact is maturity. To accept the fact as a fact, we must understand the fact. What is the fact here? Other than Atma, what is Atma? The absolute reality of the entirety of the universe, which alone obtains as the innermost essence, referred to as the content of I, is Atma. Other than that, anything, everything in the world is inert material product, is subject to change. We have to learn to understand and learn to accept it. So here he says, Dehi nosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yauvanam jara tatha dehantara prapti dhirastatra namuhyati dehi nosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yauvanam jara tatha dehantara prapti dhirastatra namuhyati. Now, new class. Matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukha dukkhada agamapayino nityaha tam stitikshasva bharata. Matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukha dukkhada agamapayino nityaha Tyaha tam stitikshasva bharata. Arjuna is addressed as He Bharata. He Bharata, Arjuna. Titikshasva. Titikshasva. May you learn to endure. It's an imperative verb. Titikshasva. What you should learn to endure? Tan. Tan means them. You learn to endure them. What is them means what? What? Matraha sparshaha. Matraha sparshaha. To matraha means sense organs. And the sparshaha means objects contacted, touched through the sense organs. Objects of perception, the external objects perceived through sense organs are sparshaha. So when the sense mind comes in contact with the external sense objects through the sense organs, naturally they will give rise to the experience of pairs of opposites. Shita, Ushna, Sukha, Dukkha, Daha. Shita, Ushna, Sukha, Dukkhan, Dadataha, Iti, Sukha, Dukkha, Daha. The bestowers of, givers of, these pairs of opposites, such as cold, heat, pleasure, pain, etc. Shita, Ushna, Sukha, Dukkha, Daha. Sheetam, cold. Ushnam, heat. Sukham, pleasure. Dukkham, pain. So, only four are mentioned. Sheetam, Ushnam, Sukham, Dukkham. You have to include all pairs of opposites. So, when sense organs come in contact with the respective objects, when this perception of the external world of objects, when they're interacting with the world, there will be experience of pairs of opposites. No, I don't want pairs of opposites. I want only sukham, no dukkham. I want only sheetam in summer, ushnam in winter. I want only honor. I don't want dishonor. I want only victory, no defeat. I want only jayaha, not para, not parajayaha. No, that is not possible. Okay. When sense organs come in contact with the respective external sense objects, matraha sparshaha. So sparsha means here contact also. The contact of sense organs with their sense objects. Contacts are the bestowers of the pairs of opposites in terms of cold, heat, pleasure, pain. So interaction in the world definitely will give rise to the experience of pairs of opposites. It means there will be desirable situations, there will be undesirable situations. There will be pleasant situations, unpleasant situations. There will be wanted things, there will be unwanted things. Both will be there. There will be mixture of desirable, undesirable situations. The proportion may differ from person to person. That's a different thing. This is something unavoidable, inevitable, unchangeable. Why? The mind is anatma material product. Through sense organs are anatma material products. And the sense objects, perceptible objects, some material products. When the sense organs, the contact of the sense organs with their respective sense objects will give rise to these time-bound pairs of experience of pairs of opposites. No, I don't like it. You can't help. That is the nature of the anatma. Okay. But one thing, thank God, they are time-bound in nature. All material things are time-bound. Therefore, experience also time-bound. Agama apayinaha. They come and go. Pleasure comes and goes. Pain comes and goes. Sukham comes and goes. Dukkham comes and... Thank God, dukkham is not permanent. Okay? Dukkham comes and goes. Ushnam comes and goes. Sheetam comes and goes. All situations are subject to change. They come and go. Anityaha. Agama apayinaha anityaha. That is the nature of the pairs of opposites. We have to understand no sukham is permanent. That is why when sukham comes, we should not feel elated. Why we should not? If you are intelligent, you will not feel elated because it will not last long. Dukkham comes, we should not feel dejected because it is not going to be there forever. Agama apayinaha anityaha, agama apayinaha anityaha, agama apayinaha anityaha, agama apayinaha anityaha. What does it mean? They come and go, all pairs of opposites, desirable, undesirable situations, are of the nature of coming and going, they're impermanent. They're subject to change. Now, I don't want sukham to change. I want it sukham to be there forever. No, it is not possible. I don't want the dukkham. I want the dukkham to not to come at all. No, it's not possible. I want dukkham to go fast, quickly. Nobody will say, I want the dukkham to be there forever. It is not in our hands, okay? That this is called understanding the nature of the pairs of opposites. They are time-bound. Anityaha agama payinaha. Why? Because these experiences are there only when there is interaction in the world. In deep sleep state, there's no sukham dukkham, there's no shetam ushnam, there's no experience of pairs of opposites in deep sleep state. No way. There's no interaction with the external world. The sense organs are not functional, mind is not functional, the external world does not exist, there's no interaction, There's no perception of the sense objects. There's no, the sense organs do not come in contact with the respective objects. The perception doesn't take place. There's no play, no pain. Understand? Therefore, this is the nature. We understand this. In deep sleep state, when there's no interaction, there's no pairs of opposites. Experience of pairs of opposites is not there. When there is interaction with the external world, in the form of when the sense organs come in contact with the sense objects, whenever there is contacts of sense organs with the sense objects, there will be experience of pairs of opposites in terms of Shitam, Ushtam, Sukham, Dukham. But the nature is that all these pairs of opposites, all these experiences of pain, pleasure, etc., are time-bound in nature, anityaha. They come and go. So understand the nature of the anatma, sense organs, mind, anatma, sense objects, and the experiences based on their interaction. Atma is only there as a witness, okay? They understand. Once you understand them, then learn to accept them. Understand them and learn to endure them. Understanding their nature, that they come and go, they are not permanent. Once you understand, you accept, learn to endure them. Okay. If you don't understand them, you can't endure them. If you learn to endure them, you can accept them with the understanding of the nature, that is a healthy endurance, healthy acceptance. Where there is healthy acceptance, endurance, there will be possibility of becoming mature, more mature emotionally. There's no understanding, there's no healthy acceptance, choiceless acceptance, helpless acceptance, with all complain. Then there's no possibility of becoming mature. So Bhagavan says, Matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukha dukkhadaha agamapayino nityaha tam titikshasva bharata tan titikshasva, because of sandhi, tam titikshasva. Understand? Okay, let us see the bhashyam now. The little meaning you have seen. Now Bhagavan first, the Shankar Bhagavatpada explains the word matraha. Very nice. See, the word matra, matre, matraha. Matra is akaranta stilinga shabda. Matra means a unit of time. Unit of time is also meant by the word matra. Eka matra kalaha means what? Unit of time taken to pronounce a vowel, short vowel. Two units of time taken to pronounce long vowel is dimatra kalaha. Understand? So matra means unit of time, one meaning. But that is not the meaning you should take here. Here matra means sense organ. Jnana indriyam is said to be matra. Why a jnana indriyam is said to be matra? The beautiful word. Because why jnanendriyani are said to be matraha? Matra is equal to jnanendriyam, instrument of knowledge. Subtle power which serves as an instrument of knowledge is jnanendriyam. Matraha jnanendriyani, all five subtle powers which serve as instrument of knowledge are said to be matraha. Why? Shankaracharya says, Miyante shabdadayaha, let me put in proper prose order. Shabdadayaha miyante abhihi iti matraha. Shabda Adayaha means what? The sense objects such as sound, etc., are measured by them, through them. Beautiful. Measured means what? Accurately measured means known. When you hear the, if you're used to listen to certain voices, accurately measure, even if you don't see the person singing, oh, this is not Sudharaganathan's voice. This is not Unnikrishnan's voice. This is somebody else's voice. This is, no, whose voice you can make out? It's called accurately measuring. Accurate measurement is called what? Manam. The verb is mati. Mati means measures. Mati is equal to measures. Manam, measuring. Manadandaha, scale of measurement. Miyate is measured. Understand? So measured means what? Is known. Sense organs are said to be matraha because shabdadayaha vishayaha. Vishayaha means objects. Objects such as shabdaha, sparshaha, rupam, rasaha, gandaha. There are only five objects. Shabdaha, sound. Sparshaha, touch. Shabda, sparsha, rupam, form. Rasaha, taste. Gandaha, smell. Okay. Shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandaha, pancha vishayaha. There are five objects. Shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandaha. So sound is miyate. Shabdaha, kaya matraya miyate. Shabdaha, shrotraendriyam. Sound is accurately measured, known through the hearing power. So hearing power is the matra. Similarly, each sense power is a matra. Skin, your twagindriyam, this, the power of touch obtaining in the skin is the twagindriyam, is the matra for knowing the touch. Your power of smelling, granendriyam, is the matra for accurately knowing, measuring the smell, sugandha, durgandha, etc. So your chakshurindriyam, the power of knowing, seeing, is the matra to accurately measure the light, the form, the shape, the color, what shade it is. We accurately say, sometimes we say, no, 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 that's not, that's a light, that shade, this shade. We say all accurate measurement. Means what? Accurate knowledge is accurate measurement. Understand? Therefore, why sense organs are said to be matraha? Because shabdadayaha vishayaha, shabda sparsha rupa rasa gandaha pancha vishayaha, abhihi miyante, they are accurately known, measured through the sense organs. Therefore, sense organs are said to be matraha. Abhihi means what? Through the, these. Abhihi, etabhihi, that is the meaning. Is it clear now? Abhihi is equal to etabhihi. They are measured through these, therefore they are said to be matraha. Okay. So matranam, okay. Abhihi miyante shabdadayaha iti matraha. Kani shrotradini indriyani. See? Shrotra adini indriyani, the sense power, subtle sense powers, which serve as instruments of knowledge, such as hearing power, etc., are said to be matraha because the objects such as sound, etc., are accurately measured through the sense powers. Is it clear? We are away from the teaching. We are learning something not very necessary, important. But it's okay. We need to learn Bhashyam, isn't it? Okay. So, Shrotradini Indriyani Matraha Iti Uchyante. Shrotradini Shrotrendriyam, Chakshurindriyam, Granendriyam, Okay, panchajnanendriyani are said to be matraha because kimartam abhihi miyante shabdadayaha vishayaha iti. Very simple. Now the whole expression is what now? Why sense organs are said to be matraha? That's all you have learnt now. But we'll go ahead quickly. Don't worry. Matranam sparshaha. Matranam sparshaha means what? Contacts of the sense organs. Matranam sparshaha. The word sparshaha literally means touch. Touch involves what? Contact. Touch implies contact. So sparshaha is equal to touches. Touches equal to contacts. Contact. One thing with the other is sparsha. The sparshaha means here, don't take a touch here, contacts. So contacts all sense organs. Matranam sparshaha is equal to matra sparshaha. Okay, the contact sense organs. With what? Shabdadibihi. Sayogaha. So sparshaha is equal to sayogaha. Means contacts all the sense organs with their respective sense objects such as sound, etc. Understand? See, once you wake up from sleep in the morning, from the time you are up until you fall asleep, continuously your sense organs are in contact with their respective sense objects. Continuously. That is how you are interacting with the external world of objects. Therefore, shabdadbihi sayogaha. Te shita ushna sukha dukkha daha. So contacts of sense objects, sense organs with their respective sense objects definitely give rise to the experience of what? Pairs of opposites such as shitam, ushnam, sukham, dukkham. Okay. Sukha dukkha daha means what? Shitam, ushtam, sukham, dukkham cha prayachanti. They give the experience of pairs of opposites. It is the interaction of the external world. Contact the respective sense objects alone. Contact are the sense organs, sense objects means what? Interaction with the external world. Definitely give the experience of pairs of prayachanti means dadati. Okay, iti. Athava. This is 1 minute. Sprishyante iti sparshaha. So, the word sparshaha can mean contact. Or the word sparshaha can also mean objects of perception. Okay? External objects of perception. Ariyappadugindra porutkal. Why? According to the first meaning, the word sparshaha means contact of sense organs with their respective. Okay? Now, sparshaha can be taken as objects of knowledge also. Objects of knowledge. Why? Sprishyante iti sparshaha. The objects which are contacted, which are known, which are perceived through sense organs are also said to be sparshaha. We are knowing so much about words here. We are going a little away from the teaching. Okay. Sprishyante iti sparshaha. What are they? Vishayaha. Shabdadayaha vishayaha sprishyante iti sparshaha. The shabdadayaha means what? Shabda sparsha rupa rasa gandhaha. Sound, touch, form, smell, taste, smell. Isn't it? All these 5 objects. Shabdadayaha vishayaha sparshaha. You can take it as objects of perception, objects of knowledge, or contacts of sense organs with their objects. Anyway, however you take it, it means what? The only when there is interaction with the world, you have no choice. Every human being has to go through the experience of pairs of opposites. It is unchangeable. That is the nature of the interaction, the nature of coming in contact with external objects. So you can't cover yourself, you know, with a big nice blanket and then I don't want to get up and see the world at all. If it is possible for somebody to light learn, you can try. He has no choice. You have to wake up. You have to get up. Even if you don't want to wake up, Parabdha will wake you up. And you will be in trouble. You have to get up at least for you to fill your stomach. You have to get up. You'll be hungry. Your biological needs will chase you. You have to get up and you have to move around. You have to come in contact with the external world. And you will go through choicelessly, helplessly, the experience of pairs of opposites. Therefore, what is it said here? What is it here? Matrascha sparshascha shita ushna sukha dukkhadaha. The sense organs and their contacts with sense objects or this perception of sense objects definitely give rise to the experience of pairs of opposites. Okay. Sheetam kadachite. Sometimes there will be experience of cold. Sukham kadachite. Sometimes there will be pleasure. Kadachite dukham. Sometimes there will be pain, experience of pain. You can't expect only the experience of pleasure. You can't expect only the experience of sukham. You can't expect, yeah, where is sukham? Only pain, pain. But that's also not true. Everyone goes through the pairs of opposites. Okay. Sheetam kadachit. Sometimes sheetam. Sometimes sukham. Sometimes dukham. Kadachit sukham. Kadachit dukham. Tatha ushnamapi. This is what? Aniyata swarupam. Aniyata swarupam. Anke aniyata swarupam. So, we are helpless. Tatha ushtamapi aniyata swarupam. Sukha dukhe punaha. Niyata rupe. Sukha dukhe punaha niyata rupe. Yataha na vyabhicharataha. Ataha tabhyam prutak shitoshnayoho grahanam. So what does it mean? So sometimes pain comes, sometimes pleasure comes, sometimes. So the pairs of opposites keep on coming, you know, alternatively. There is no choice about it. Aniyata swarupam tata ushtamapi. Aniyata swarupam. What does it mean here? Aniyata swarupam means this is of the nature of being undesirable. Dukkham is the nature of undesirable. Sukham is the nature of desirable, being desirable. So aniyata swarupam means what? There will not be only one. There will be these pairs of opposites will not be the same. Between what now? They come one after the other invariably, unalterably. Why? Because yataha vyabhichna vyabhicharataha. Vyabhicharati means what? Varies. The sukham and dukham, the pairs of opposites, do not vary. What does it mean? They come one after the other. that we can't change. After sukham, there'll be dukkham. After dukkham, there'll be sukham. This can we change? No. Karnavyabhicharataha. So here it is said, sukham dukkham. Sukadukhe punaha nayatarupe yataha navyabhicharataha. There is no choice between them. They will come, they come alternate, unalterably they come. Sukad niyatarupe yataha na vibhicharataha, because they do not vary. They do not vary means what? There's no, they can't be vary, only sukham, sukham, sukham. It's not possible. Sukham will be followed by dukkham. Dukkham will be followed by sukham. That is what is, that doesn't, in this manner there's no variation. They do not vary. There's no variation. Ataha tabhyam prithak sitoshnayoho grahanam. That is why separately, when we don't experience simultaneously, isn't it? When you're experiencing pain, there's no pleasure. Experiencing pleasure, there's no pain. So prithak grahanam yasmat te matra sparshadayaha agama apayinaha. Why there is a prithak grahanam? There is experience of pleasure that goes. Then prithak separately. This experience of pain again separately. The separate experience of pain and pleasure, separate experience of pain and pleasure continuously is there because all these objects of experience, all these experiences are of the nature of coming and going. Why after pain you experience pleasure? After pleasure, you experience pain. After pain, you experience pleasure. After pleasure, you experience pain. Because agama apayinaha, they are not permanent. They come and go. That is the nature. Prithak sitoshnyoho grihasma te matra sparshadayaha agama apayinaha. Agama apayashilaha means what? They are of the nature of coming and going. Tasmat anityaha, therefore they are impermanent. Because the nature of being impermanent, they come one after the other. Continuously pain, 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 pain. Only pain is not there. Only pleasure also is not there. Understand, they vary. In order, there is no change. So, ataha, therefore, there is choicelessness about it. You cannot say, I do not like this setup. No, that is the nature of the experiences. There will be experience of pairs of opposites. There will be both desirable, undesirable, pleasant, unpleasant experiences, situations. Why? That is what, when there's interaction with the world, that's what happens. Interaction with the external world, the sense organs come in contact with the sense objects. There will be experience of pairs of opposites. And those experiences will not be only desirable situations, not be only unpleasant. They'll be both pleasant and unpleasant situations. And they are of the nature of coming and going. You have no choice about it. Understand? So, what can I do then? If you are a mumukshu, if you are an intelligent person, if you have purushartha nischeha, you're committed to the pursuit of jnanam, if you know, understand this fact, the permanent, non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting happiness only in knowing the swarupam of yourself. When we are waiting for the jnanam, your focus is on mental, preparing your mind, then when you happen to go through pairs of opposites, understand their nature, accept the situations, okay, understand the fact, accept the fact. So learn to endure them. So learning to accept endure the situations, remaining the same with elation and dejection, accepting all situations is what is the intelligent way of living one's life. Not allowing oneself to be disturbed. And one more fact is what? All these situations are definitely ordained by Bhagawan in the form of natural laws. Nobody is responsible for what the lot you go through in life. Don't blame anybody in the world. Okay, if you understand, you will not blame. I'm not saying you should don't blame. You will not blame anybody in the world for whatever paths or opposites you go through in life. Because they're all situations I go through in my life are definitely determined by Bhagawan in the form of natural laws in conformity with the punya papam one has in one's account. Therefore, there is an appropriate reason for any situation you go through in life. There's not even one situation which you go through without any reason. There is an appropriate reason why you go through specifically a given situation. There is a cause behind every situation. Even though the cause is unknown to me, that I don't know what is the reason why I have to suffer like this. You don't know the reason. You may not know the reason. You need not know the reason, but there is a reason. So an intelligent person should understand the fact that there is a reason, cause behind every situation I go through in life. And all these situations are determined by Bhagawan Dhimam of natural laws. And these situations are inevitable and avoidable. Okay. And they are of the nature of coming and going. Again, why this is the helpless situation that everyone has to go through helplessly when one happens to interact with the external world, perceiving the objects through sense organs. Okay. So Bhagavan Ataha Tane Shita Ushnadin Titikshasva. Titikshasva is equal to what? Prasahasva. Sahasva itself is enough. Pra is a prefix. Prahasva or sahasva means titikshasva. So, teshu harsham vishadamva ma karshihi. Harsham vishadamva ma karshihi. May you not do what may not have, may not rejoice or may not hate. Harsham vishadam va makarshihi. When situations are pleasant and desirable, enjoyable, then may not be delighted. Harsham makarshihi. When situations are unpleasant, undesirable, vishadam makarshihi, may not grieve. Vishadam makarshihi, may not be grieving. What does it mean? So, may you learn to accept them. May you learn to remain the same in all situations. When unpleasant situation comes, you worry. Oh, it has come. It has happened. It has happened. Oh, unpleasant situation has come. Then don't. Vishadam makarshi. Don't worry about it. It's going to go. When pleasant situation comes, then harsham makarshi. Oh, very nice. Very nice. So, don't be elated and dejected. Try to remain the same in all situations. Understanding their nature. Nothing is permanent here. Just listen. Matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukha dukha daha agamapayino nityaha Tam stitikshasva bharata. Harsham vishadamba. Sorry, harsham, not harsham. Harshaha means joy. Vishadaha, grief. Harsham vishadamba ma karshihi. May not be delighted or may not be grieving in pleasant, unpleasant situations may remain the same. So may remain the same means may you remain balanced without elation and dejection. Vishadam Makarshmi, without being dejected, without being elated, may remain the same. That's the meaning of these two expressions. Harsham Makarshihi, Vishadam Makarshihi means what? May not be elated. So having elation is Harshaha, means elation. Here, Harshaha means joy. Here, elation. And Vishadaha means what? Having dejection. So may not have elation or dejection, depression. So remain balanced. How can you remain balanced? Understanding their nature. Accepting them. Trying to endure them. Because that is the nature of the anatma. Okay. And Bhagavan says, Shita Ushnadin Sahataha Kim Syat. Suppose if a person endures these paths of opposites with the sameness of mind, if a person remains balanced in such life, without elation in present situation, without dejection in unpleasant situation, if a person remains balanced, enduring the paths of opposites with sameness of mind, knowing their nature, that they are of the nature of coming and going, they are subject to time, they are time bound, etc. What is the benefit? So, sahanasya prayojanam kim? Sahanatayaha prayojanam kim? What is the benefit of having endurance? Sahanatayaha prayojanam kim? What is the benefit? Shita ushnadin sahataha. For a person who is enduring these paths of opposites such as cold, heat, etc., with sameness of mind, without elation, dejection, what happens for a person? For a person of endurance, what happens? That's going to be discussed. This is an encouraging verse. Very enthusing, encouraging verse. Very nice. Yam hi na vyathayan. So, sahanatayaha prayojanam. The benefit of forbearing the situation. The benefit of enduring the situations with the sameness of mind. Isn't it? Yam hi na vyathayantyete purusham purusharshabha samadukha sukham dhiram somrutatvaya kalpate. Benefit comes. Then we'll try to endure. Bhagavan said, learn to endure, no choice. That is the nature. Oh, you feel very dejected, you know. That is the main. Oh, there's no choice. I had to endure them. Yes. Why? They're unchangeable. Then you will feel little. So Bhagavan immediately says, so what is the benefit? Now, what is the benefit? Happens for the person who has that endurance, who endures. Sahataha kim syat. Shitoshnayo sahataha kim syat. Sahanatayaha prayojanam kim. That is what is said here. Yam hi na vyathayantyete purusham purusharshabha samadukha sukham dhiram somrutat. Tvaya kalpate. So here, when Bhagavan addresses Arjuna, Purusharshabha, Purusheshu Rishabha, O exalted among men, when he addresses, that means already he enthuses him by calling him Purusharshabha. Now, who is the Rishabha? Who is the bull among men? Not bull among men, the brave among men. The brave among men is the one who is not shaken by the paths of opposites one helplessly goes through in life. If unpleasant situation really shakes you, you feel dejected and depressed, you are not Rishabha. If a pleasant situation makes you feel elated, you are not balanced, you don't remain rooted, then you are not Rishabha. You are a weak person. The brave person, the Rishabha, the strong person, is the one who can remain unshakable by any situation. One who can remain the same in all situations without elation and dejection. Bhagavan addresses, "Hey Purusha Rishabha, O exalted among men," having addressed me, he says, "Yam Purusham Yete Na Vyathayanti." The person whom these do not afflict. Na Vyathayanti. Vyathayati means what? Harasses, torments, afflicts, affects. Vyathayati. Vyathayati, vyathayataha, vyathayanti. So, yete na vyathayanti. Yam purusham yete na vyathayanti. Yete means what? These pairs of opposites, dvandvaha. Yete dvandvaha. These pairs of opposites. These experience of pairs of opposites. Na, do not afflict whom? The person whom they do not afflict. Who they do not afflict? The person who can remain the same, remain balanced, who can endure those pairs of opposites, the sameness of mind. Such a person is the one who is not afflicted by these pairs of opposites. Such a person is said to be whom? Samadukha Sukaha. He is a person of the sameness of mind in pleasant, unpleasant situations. Sukha dukke same yasya. Sukha dukkha sama dukkha sukha. The person who remains the same in pleasure and pain. In pain and pleasure. Understand? Dukke, sukha dukke same yasya. The one for whom pleasure and pain are the same. He is samadukkha sukaha. The one for whom the pleasant situation of pleasure is the same. And the unpleasant situation of pain, both are the same. The one who remains the same in pleasant, unpleasant, in painful, pleasurable situations. He is samadukkha sukaha. What does it mean? Samadukkha sukaha means when the pain pressure comes, he does not feel elated. In pain, he does not feel dejected and depressed because he remembers the nature of the pairs of opposites. Pleasure, agama apayi, anityaha, anityam. Sukham also is pragama apayi, anityam. Agama apayinaha, anityaha. All these pairs of opposites or of the nature of coming and going, they are time-bound in nature. And they are determined by Bhagavan, the of natural laws, in conformity with whatever punya I have in my account. And there is a reason for what I had to go through. The person who has understanding is the one who can remain unafflicted in all situations. Without elation, without dejection, he remains balanced. Such a person is samadukkha sukaha. Same sukha dukkhe yasya. The person for whom sukham and dukkham are the same. He is samadukkha sukaha. The person who remains the same in sukham and dukkham. He is samadukkha sukaha. Who remains balanced. He is the dhiraha. He is real, relatively brave person. Jnani is absolutely dhiraha. Samadukkha sukaha is a karma yogi. He is relatively brave. Okay? Samadukkha sukaha means not an easy joke. Okay? It's a tapas. Learning to endure pairs of opposites. Remaining the same in all situations without elation and dejection. Remaining balanced means the big tapas. And that is possible if a person has what we're going to see later on. How is it possible to remain the same? Understand the nature. Because they agama apayinaha nityaha. One reason. Second reason is what? They have a reason. Why it happened, there's a reason behind it. Appropriate reason behind it. We do not know. From Shastra we understand. There is a reason why any given person goes through any situation. And that it is every situation, every thing in life is determined by Bhagavan in the form of natural laws. Therefore, the person understanding that Bhagavan is the karmaphaladata, therefore, he looks at every situation as prasadaha. And because he is able to look at the situation as prasada, he is able to accept them with sameness of mind as prasada, the prasada buddhi. Understand? Therefore, samadukha sukaha is a relatively brave person. Such a person, amrutatvaya kalpate saha, amrutatvaya kalpate. So that person, that brave person, dhiram purusham, samadukha sukham dhiram purusham, yam purusham, yete na vyathayanti. That person, the brave person, the one who remains balanced, the same in all, in pain and pleasure. One who remains, accepts the pain and pleasure with sameness of mind, such a person. These pairs of opposites do not afflict. Saha amrutatvaya kalpate. He becomes eligible for immortality. Means mokshaha. Amrutatvam is mokshaha. He becomes eligible for immortality. Means what? He becomes eligible for the attainment of moksha. He becomes eligible for the attainment of jnanam. He becomes eligible for taking ownership of everlasting happiness. Amrutatvaya kalpate. Do you want to be eligible for amrutatvam or not? Do you want to be qualified for amrutatvam or not? Then better become samadukha sukaha. Samadukha sukaha bhava. yam dhiram samadukha sukham dhiram purusham. Yam samadukha sukham dhiram purusham. Hi yete na vyathayanti. Saha amrutatvaya kalpate. This is all adjectives describing the person. Kaha purushaha. Samadukha sukaha dhiraha purushaha. Yam samadukha sukham dhiram purusham yete na vyathayanti. Saha amrutatvaya kalpate. This is the literal meaning of the verse. Let us see the bhashyam quickly. Yam hi purusham same dukkha sukhe yasya. I already told you, isn't it? Dukkha sukhe same yasya. The one for whom sukham and dukkham are the same. Who can be the person for whom sukham and dukkham are the same? The person who understands sukham is also impermanent. Dukkham also is impermanent. So what is the point in getting elated when it's going to go? Anytime it's going to go. So he remains the same, balanced, with no elation. Dukkham was going to go. So no elation, no dejection. So sukham, sukha dukkhe same yasya. The one for whom pleasure and pain are the same. I mean, the one who remains the same in all situations, such a person, tam sukhama dukkha sukham. What does it mean? Sukha dukkha praptau harsha vishada rahitaha dhiraha. Kaha dhiraha? Sukha dukkha praptau. in attaining pleasure and pain. Sukadukha prapto, sukasya prapto, dukkasya prapto, sukadukkayoho prapto. In attaining, in having to face the pleasant, unpleasant situations, in having to, in attaining pain and pleasure, harsha vishada rahitam, the person who is devoid of pleasure and pain. See, sukaprapto harsharahitaha, sukaprapto harsharahitaha, dukkaprapto vishada rahitaha. Rahitam is what? Without, devoid of. The person who is without pain, okay, who is not dejected, the person who is free from dejection when he goes through pain, when the person who is not without elation when he goes through pleasure. Is it clear now? Sukha dukkha prapto, sukha prapto, sukha prapto harsha rahitaha, dukkha prapto vishada rahitaha. But what do we do? Dukkha prapto vishada sahitaha, sukha prapto harsha sahitaha. So, but this intelligent person, sukha prapto na harsha sahitaha, harsha rahitaha, dukkha prapto na vishada sahitaha, vishada rahitaha, sahita with, rahita without. The person who remains without dejection when he happens to face pain in life, the person who is without elation when he happens to face pleasure in life, sukha dukkha prapto harsha vishada rahitaha tam, sukha dukkha prapto harsha vishada rahitam dhiram. Dhiraha means what? Intelligent person, dhiman. Dhiman, intelligent. Dhiraha is dhiman. Dhiram, dhimantam, na vyathayanti. Na vyathayanti means what? Do not shake. Na chalayanti. Na vyathayanti. Do not afflict means do not shake. Mean do not make him feel emotionally shattered. What is being brave? Being brave means situation may change. If you don't allow yourself to become mad, you are brave. But there's a possibility. That is why we have our temples. Okay, you start from a temple complex, Ganapati onwards, Ganapati, Subramanya Swami, then Dakshinamurti, then go that side, Damodara Murti, this side, Navagrahas. Come around, and especially then we have Bhairava, Kala Bhairava, Jnana Bhairava, Shiva Parati, Umama. Go around, Rahu, Ketu, then special pujas. That's why he going to temple, worshipping is what? To remain balanced. Understand now? Why we all go to all these temples and do Navagraha Pradakshinam, lighting the lamp, Rahu Kala Puja, lighting the lamp. No? So different forms of worship we do. These help us what? To remain balanced. Otherwise, we'll all go mad. Understand? Lunatic asylum. So, our worship, our prayers, our connection with Bhagavan blesses with this capacity to remain balanced. That's extra, okay? Therefore, dhimantam na vyathayanti. So, according to Shastram, who is relatively intelligent, one who is not emotionally shattered, one who is not emotionally shaken when he goes through unpleasant situations. The person who remains balanced in pleasure, one who is not elated. In pain, one who is not dejected. One who remains balanced is relatively intelligent person. Na vyathayanti means na chalayanti. Why? Nitya Atma Darshanat. Etes Yathoktaha Shitoshnadayaha. See, the person, the wise person who has the vision of the timeless Atma, who understands the fact of the timeless Atma being timeless. Such a person him these time bound the person who has the vision of the timeless Atma is not shaken by this time bound pairs of opposites. Nitya Atma Darshanat, Nitya Atma Darshanat, Yete Yathoktaha Shitoshnadayaha Na Chalayanti. Nitya Atma Darshanat. Because of the vision of the timeless Atma, because of the understanding of the fact of the self being timeless, the person is not afflicted, shaken by this time bound, unchangeable experience of pairs of opposites. Saha Nityatma Swarupa Darshana Nishtaha. So this person, here Shatram talks about a jnani. Here, in this context. Yasaha Nitya Atma Swarupa Darshana Nishtaha. Nitya Atma Swarupa Darshana Nishtaha is a jnani. The wise person has very clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the self, one's own Swarupam being Atma, one who is established, one who abides in the vision of the essential nature of the self being timelessness. Nitya Atma Swarupa Darshana Nishtaha. One who remains established in, rooted in, abides in the vision of the essential nature of timeless self. Is it clear? Nitya Atma Swarupa Darshanishtaha. Such a person, Dvandva Sahishnuhu. He becomes the endurer. Sahishnuhu, the endurer of the paths of opposites. Endure of the paths of opposites. He knows Atma is timeless, which is one's own Swarupam. So he, the one who abides in the vision of the essential nature of the timeless Atma, such a person is the endurer of the paths of opposites. Amritatvaya, but Amrita Bhavaya, Mokshaya ityartha. Amritatvaya means what? Amrita Bhavaya, for being immortal. Mokshaya, for being free. Kalpate samartha bhavati. He becomes capable, he becomes eligible for the moksha. He becomes eligible for the moksha, means eligible for attainment of moksha. Understand? So, even before the attainment of jnanam also, even before assimilation of the jnanam also, understanding the nature of the Atma, understanding the nature of Anatma, accepting the fact as a fact, not allowing oneself to be afflicted by situations, is intelligence. Okay, intelligent way of. Such a person, intelligent person. Such a person alone becomes eligible for the attainment of moksha. See, moksha praptihi means intelligent living. One must live intelligently in order to achieve anything in life. Even a stupid things, you have to be intelligent. And what about moksha? Jnanam, Bhagavad Sakshatkara. One must live intelligently. Intelligently living means living one's life as a mature individual. Living one's life as a mature individual means having the guts, strength to accept the fact as a fact. And living one's life is living one's life intelligently. Therefore, yam hi, so amrutatvaya, amrutabhavaya, mokshaya kalpate. Amrutatvaya means what? Amrutabhavaya. For the state of being immortal. What does it mean? Mokshaya. Being free. Mokshaya. For attainment of, for discovering, for taking ownership of, for claiming the freedom which is already there as one's own swarupam, for that, to discover one's own moksha as one's own nature, one must be eligible. Isn't it? That eligibility, the person, sa kalpate samarthah bhavati, he becomes eligible for that. Mokshaya kalpate. Mokshaya samarthah bhavati. He becomes capable. Capable of discovering freedom. Capable. Being capable means what? Being eligible. Being eligible is being capable. If pairs, if you allow yourself to be afflicted by pairs of opposites, where is the question of becoming qualified? As a question of discovering, you will not be capable. Samarthah bhavati becomes eligible, becomes capable. So, dvandva sahishnuhu eva. Now, you can make a beautiful sentence. See, mokshaya amrutatvaya samarthah kaha bhavati. Mokshaya amrutatvaya amrutabhavaya kaha kalpate kaha samarthah bhavati. Dvandva sahishnuhu. Dvandva sahishnuhu means what? Yaha dvandvam sodhum shaknoti saha dvandva sahishnuhu. Dvandvam sodhum yaha shaknoti dvandva sahishnuhu. Endurer of pairs of opposites with the sameness of mind. The endurer of the pairs of opposites alone. Dvandva sahishnuhu eva mokshaya kalpate. Mokshaya samarthah bhavati. Amrutatvaya samarthah bhavati. Is it clear? Katam dvandva sahishnuhu bhavati. Katam bhavati means nitya atma swarupa darshana nishtaha. To be a dvandva sahishnuhu, one must be nitya atma swarupa darshana nishtaha. One must always remember. One must always abide in the vision of the essential nature of the timeless atma. Nature of the atma being timelessness. Nitya atma swarupa darshana nishtaha eva dvandva sahishnuhu. Dvandva sahishnuhu eva amrutatvaya kalpate mokshaya samarthah bhavati. Is it clear? Don't you think this language very kindergarten simple? Kindergarten English, Sanskrit language? Very, very easy now, isn't it? Only the Purvimamsakas come and there will be some problem. It's okay. Yam hi na vyatha, I'll stop here, okay? Yam hi na vyathayante te purusham purusharshabha samadukha sukham dhiram somrutatvaya kalpate. Important verse comes. be ready. Long bhashyam of Shankaracharya. The toughest portion, not toughest, but very interesting, but really long bhashyam. Okay? Very simple bhashyam finished. Next verse is going to be important verse, important teaching. So before that, we have to do Drik Drishya Viveka. Okay, the prakriya has to be used. So I'll do it next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.